and welcome to a new episode of
Brunton. Episode 2038. Apparently we found out in the in going through our archive that we've actually not got an episode 20.
Yeah, we just skipped it.
We just went from 19 to 21.
And I think it's because we wanted to cancel 2020 like way back when we knew.
We did. Yeah, profit somewhat.
I was just going to wonder, we have a special guest and I was wondering if you were going to do that thing they do on podcasts where they don't speak until they're
presented.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? She's not, she's already opened a big mouth.
Ultimately impossible for me not to speak, so I had to go ahead and blow my load.
You don't want to silence your voice on this podcast.
That's a fucking sex work analogy right there. blown it right at the start.
If Zoom records the video, we're going to look truly deranged. But we have famous woman around town, Lauren Crilly, with us. From she's visibly laughing with glee.
Silent
introduction. She's here to just like lend a Caucasian voice
and a helpful
brown and one third Caucasian town.
Yeah,
for one episode only. I'm hoping that the response will be so rapturous that you'll have to come back, friend. Of
oh
the-
wow!
And only then can you be referred to as friend of the show, because right now you're just a friend,
acquaintance of the show.
Acquaintance.
That's what I was gonna say. I feel like that's a more appropriate acquaintance. We don't know each other intimately yet in this pod format. Yeah,
but hopefully after this. Very intimate.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Can't wait to get that drawing of your vagine.
Yeah, it'll be £30, please. Also, I can't draw, so it will just be like... if I had to draw a picture of my poussoir... Also, I don't even know it well enough from that angle to accurately depict anything.
Well, the thing is, it's art, so it can be from any angle. You could just sort of trace over like a biology book.
I could trace over a Georgia O'Keeffe and then just shade it in the right colour.
Yeah.
I like to say that, I couldn't find my pen and it's literally in my sock.
In your ass.
That's what I was doing for the last approximately 40 seconds.
Is that a common place to keep a pen? Am I just unaware of that?
I was just fiddling. It's just because I'm kooky and quirky but relatable.
Yeah.
do you want to do a little tell the listeners what we're talking about today, darling?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll intro the topic. The topic is going to be dating as a sex worker. I always cringe at the word dating.
Uh-huh.
I always find that word really. It's kind of like I'm selecting a suitor. A gentleman caller.
Dating does.
I don't know. It implies that I'm like going out for dinner.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Not. Well, not there. Not in 20.
You know what I mean? It just sounds like it's very American. But anyway, I don't know. Yeah. Just, navigating the landscapes of romance and relationships within your personal spheres once you're a working girl, which is my favorite euphemism, I think, for sex worker.
And you are working hard.
Working girl, because sex work is work, so maybe that's why it just implies, you know, that she's hustling.
Have you ever had someone who has started in the biz and then they realized, oh wow, like it really is truly work?
Yeah, no, I don't know none of them, but there's definitely people who assume that anyone can just...
Oh my god, that's a thing that I see on Twitter.
Yeah, people kind of assume that it's a sort of an easy thing to get yourself into, or that it's easy work or easy money. And I think those people are very naive.
Yeah, even people who are like stripping and camming. There's like the tier, what's it called? The hierarchy?
Hierarchy, yeah.
Where it's like like a pyramid of like less, like what's perceived as less, I don't know, severe or less intensive or less demonized, criminalized.
It
goes from like camming and stripping all the way up to like full service sex
work. There are some like porn stars who might look down on sex workers or dominatrices who will look down on escorts who have sex with their clients, and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I will never have sex. So there is a lot of like sort of intra stigma.
Oh yeah.
But that's because people are fucking bitches.
Mm, good.
Yeah.
People are.
I have to say, like, of the sex workers I know, like, the admin is, like, always on point. Like, they're always, you know, getting back to people. They're very organized.
The admin is, it's like fucking 90% admin marketing. Yeah. And, like emailing and sending texts and organizing and scheduling. It's all of that bullshit.
Yeah, totally. I actually always say that about activism, that it's like 90% admin. But I think just everything is 90% admin these days. Just like that's how the world is set up.
Yeah, that's life, baby.
Girl, episode title right there.
Life is admin. Adulting.
I swear to God, the hardest part of doing this show is thinking of a title.
It'll pop up.
It should just be like Girl Boss 2020.
That's the name of the show, Lauren.
Oh, shit. I did not do my research.
Shall I begin regaling the tales?
Yeah, I'm so annoyed there isn't...
I can't wait, because I've not got good gossip in ages, so...
Oh,
like,
Lauren's a gossip queen. She loves it.
I do love it, but I never partake, but I love to consume it. And that's why I've started watching Real Housewives, because, like, there's just been such a lack, like, a dryness when it comes to, like, life, and I just needed something juicy. I just needed to see women shouting at each other, basically. Yeah,
there's nothing quite like it, especially over the dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
glasses of wine flying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Should I start watching that? The side note,
absolutely, yeah, just start on Salt Lake City, not to just sort of curtail the conversation.
We're both alienating the sex worker in this conversation.
Yeah, we are.
I'm two against silence.
Two against pivot back.
Your voice is being silent.
Okay, you speak your truth, honey.
Okay,
you
go. I'm gonna live my authentic self. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, was that you trying to clap?
Yeah, it was. Apology,
I'm gonna call it clap back. You'll find that your stuff is gone, and in reality, to whom does the stuff belong? Do we need to get like copyright for that?
Nah, it's fair use in it.
Yeah.
Okay. I had really good luck for some reason in London. I don't want this to turn into a, like, Glasgow men are shit thing, because I feel like I almost did that last time.
Probably will, darling.
But it may be a coincidence.
You might need to do some background on, like, your sex work experience, where you've lived and stuff.
Yeah, so I used to live in London how many years ago? 2012.
I think you were 2016. That. Because it was the year before I moved, which was October 2017, in case anyone was wondering.
But I was there. Oh, anyway, the years don't really matter. When I was first started working, that's when I met one of a boyfriend who was always really good about it.
Yeah.
Who was always, like, he was shit in other ways, but that was the one thing that he was always really supportive about. And from what I've heard from other sex workers, it's something that when you're in a relationship with a guy, it's your fear is always that it's going to be thrown in your face during an argument, or, like, you know, it's just like a weapon to use against you at any point. Cause it's like, well, you're a fucking whore, and you're having sex with all these people.
Yeah.
And he was always like in words was always very supportive about it, and also never ever used it against me. The only thing that I kind of was concerned about with him was that I thought that maybe he was mad about it, but not expressing it. And the only way that he could express it was by worrying about my safety, which is something that I could never then be annoyed at him about, because obviously that's a legit thing. So there's like one time when I finished up and I told him that it was going to be my last client. And then, like, I think I maybe overran by about 15 minutes just because I was, like, chatting to the guy, because it was quite interesting. And then, like, my boyfriend, like, fucking went nuts he was like, oh, dude, I didn't know, so I had to call the police, I was going to call the hotel and all this stuff. And it was just a bit like, it was a bit intense. And there was also another time when I cancelled on him because I had an overnight client, which was like a grand, it was like £1,500. I wasn't going to turn that down. That's 3 months rent, you know what I mean? So
£1,500
Yeah, £1,500. And he was very upset with me for cancelling on him. But, you know, I didn't, I just thought, would you still be upset with me if this was, like, an office job or, like, something
else?
If
I worked in real estate.
Yeah, if I was, like, you know, for anything else.
Yeah.
Would it be an issue? Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, he was pretty sick on that front.
Yeah.
Very ugly, though. I'm just kidding.
I was going to make a very similar joke, but I was going to go, but he was a murderer.
That was the only downside. You could kill people. But no, and since, so I feel like I was almost lulled into a false sense of security in terms of like, ah, oh, there are guys out there who are cool with it. And there are, they do exist. But the big juicy one from when I moved to Glasgow, well, there's a few which I might touch on if we have time, but the biggest one was do you think it's worth, like, I don't want to name him.
Wait,
I was gonna say, name them, dox them, like,
show up to that house. Back.
You'll find that your stuff is gone.
Yeah, you're gonna get exposed.
Who are we talking about?
Well, that's
secret whispers. Yeah. Okay, type in the chat.
You don't know them, so that you're going to be like the audience here, that you're not going to know anything. So if you don't know what she's talking about, then just ask, because well, you don't need to mention any names.
I don't. So there's
this kind of spills over into the podcast.
It's meta.
Yeah, this is us. This is us, like, not clapping back, what's the word, exposing toxic behavior in the industry that we are not in. No, we're not. It's so minor, so funny.
Oh my god, you fucked Joe Rogan.
And then he ghosted me.
Yeah, wow. We talked together. It's a little Joe Rogan joke for the heads. No one knows it. One for the boyfriends. Anyway, if any girls got a boyfriend, look like, anyway. Anyway, I'm going to start this story because I just want to speak.
Yeah. You also almost, like, get a bit involved.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Because, so there was a guy who used to kind of listen to the show and, like, tried to... I'm just kidding.
Before that, because I was, like, when I first moved here, I have, like, a sex worker account on Twitter that I first started as, like, a client-facing one, which was meant to be for advertising, but then it just turned into activism because I can't help myself. But then this guy was, like, liking and retweeting a lot of my shit, and I was like, oh, he's fit. He's a journalist. He's a fucking journo.
Like, thousands of followers.
Yeah,
Tens, 20s kind of thing.
Oh, this person had lots of followers.
Yeah, like 10, 20, something around that.
He has
10,000 bots following him.
He had some level of clout. Anyway, and he was also, then you could, now you go.
Oh, right. Yeah, so he kind of, I guess he was going through Apsy stuff. Then he followed all of us respectively and then started liking all of our stuff. And we were like, who's this guy? And then he started messaging and was like, I'm a really big fan, blah, blah, blah. We ended up kind of...
he's a lefty guy.
He's like left-wing, like kind
of... for the National, is it?
Yeah, but I think that's probably like personal information. I was going to say, but he writes for like... he's written for a lot of like the big publications, basically. And he's like, I've got like a channel, like a TV channel, and like, kind of want you guys to maybe be involved, like host it or something.
Yeah, all of this chat. And
so we met up with him, we went to a pub.
Well, there was the rally that I went to be accurate.
It's true, it really does.
There was a May Day march. And a Scott Pep, who are a charity in Edinburgh who campaigned for Decrim. They were there and they had like a little rally thing. And he was also there with his girlfriend at the time, who was a sex worker. Mm. And she introduced us. She was like, oh, look, it's like your biggest fan. And then I was chatting to him. And then, yeah, it was just like an afternoon. And then I went home.
And then was that after that was the meeting? So we had like a meeting, and it was like described as a meeting, and it was like okay. Was about like kind of hosting and being part of this channel that was like a pro indie socialist news channel, I guess, kind of like Navarra or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had like BBC Scotland shows and things like that. And so he met us, and I was like, this guy's a twat, like quite quickly. He like asked me to clarify what kind of like leftist I was, because I mentioned something about socialism, and he's like, oh, so you consider yourself a socialist? And I was like, well, I don't.
The worst voice ever.
Like a parody of a posh accent, basically. And he was like, because I define myself as like an internationalist, post-colonial, anti-fascist, blah, 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 like buzzword.
Fabulous. This dickhead does not shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and I mentioned a book I was reading, and he was like, oh my God, I can't be reading that book. It's so awful. Like, I've got personal beef with the author. Leftists love doing that. They love beef. They love going like, oh, you know him. Oh, like, he's a dickhead. Like, and they've all different stories. They love having the tea. It's like a certain people around town who like love knowing the tea on everyone and kind of like cancelling everyone left, right, and centre.
Or left and left.
Cancel culture is real, guys. I'm gonna have to edit that so much. So then we were like in the pub and kind of trying to have like a nice conversation, but I was like, I feel like I'm on a date. I feel like I'm crashing a date between Apsy and this man. And then,
because remember when he just interjected out of nowhere and he was like, by the way, I've broken up with
my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm not with ex anymore. And I was like, okay sis, go off. Anyway, maybe I left, maybe we both left. The thing ended. Obviously, we never heard back. And then you can go.
And then I met up with him. It was during the World Cup, because he came over to like watch the England games with me. And
which is huge for both of you. Just
huge.
And he was kind of chill, drinking, woo. And then there was one night when we just kind of fooled around a bit and he stayed over. And then it was just dead fucking weird, because he left to go on some like work trip. And one night when I came back home, I found some red roses at the door.
I thought it was going to be so much more grim than that.
That to me is the grimmest.
To Apsy, that's like a flaming dog shit.
Yeah, a full like horse's head in the bed, like red.
Yeah. I mean, but only because it's like I don't know the guy.
Yeah, but you know, it's basic also. Basic flower choice, I would say.
Yeah, red roses.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And it's just like.
Red for communism.
It just kind of, yeah. It just, what did you say?
Red for communism.
Red for communism.
Or a red Labour, red rose, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just creeped me out. And then messaging him was also like being with him in person. He'd just send like really long essays about like the Lebanon.
Oh man, it was so boring.
It's like, it's okay to care about things, but if you're no crack, it's like, I don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah, he was, because he was like a specialist, like, he writes about politics in the Middle East, and he would just send me this like fucking paragraph, and I'd literally just reply to it like, I don't know what any of that means.
Hey, just keep talking. Talking.
Yeah.
It's just like,
this is weird. Anyway, so it just kind of like fizzled out because I was just a bit like, there's something not right. There's something a bit off.
Yeah. You were like, I don't want to hang out with BBC News.
Yeah. BBC World Service in my DMs.
It just kind of like, he weirded me out for some reason. I put it down to him just having the worst voice in the world. It's really, really quite something, very nasal. And
every time I think I know what it's like, I listen to it and I'm like, fuck
he's
me.
He's, I didn't know what it was like. Physically, he's very attractive.
Yeah.
He's a very attractive man, which is why I was drawn to him in the first place, because I am shallow. But, yeah. Fucking weirded me out. And then it was a few months later when I was helping to organize like a sex worker event. So there was a couple of events happening. There was like a sex worker only event that was just going to be about like organizing. And then there was a public one that was going to be for anyone to attend. And it was going to talk about like legal models and all the kind of like 101 stuff and like why sex workers are organizing and what their aims are, blah, blah, blah. And when I was at the first one,
I think I helped organize that from the work side of it.
Yeah, Erica. It was an Erica thing.
Shout out Erica, legends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so good. I think that was that the one that was with Agnieszka? I don't think she works there anymore. I'm fully doxing.
Yeah. The very, very gorgeous woman.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Was that the sex worker opera? Because we talk about that at work so much because it was just great because there was someone like
it wasn't the opera one, it was another one after that.
I saw that on Instagram though and I was like, damn,
that's a lot of theatre kids, yeah. Yeah, so the political one, which was like the day after, which we tried to like invite members of the Lib Dem party and shit like that. And at the sex worker only event, they were talking about like who's going to come, and they said you got to make sure that guy. They were like, they were saying, "Oh, that client, you know, the one who always like overstays and chats about politics. We don't want him there because he gate crashes these events sometimes." And they were like, they were saying like, "Oh, we have to like tell security if he shows up to not let him in.
Like, give him a picture because he goes to the events and then he books." So often, like, sex workers will speak, you know, on a panel or something, and then he will book them for a booking after the event. Like, the particular, he'll go to the political events and then, like, find sex workers to have sex with, basically.
Is there a name for that?
It's quite fucking rare. Disgusting, creepy-ass meat market.
Dickhead.
Yeah. So I didn't know who it was. So I was just like, oh, show me a picture, because I assumed it might be a client that I knew. Like, this was months down the line after this whole thing had fizzled out. And when I saw a picture, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we freaked out.
Freaked the fuck out, because I did not know he is a client.
So then all the other girls were like, oh, my God, yeah. Like, they were like, you don't know. Like, we've all seen him. He's booked us all. He tries to overstay. He lectures us about, like, politics. Because often they were like, you don't see their face until they show up at your door. So obviously, you're like, it doesn't happen very often, I guess, that people you know.
It's just,
does that happen?
It doesn't, because
people that you know just, like, rocking up.
Thankfully, a lot of clients have the sense, and also it's for their own self-protection, to not see escorts even in their area. Like, they wouldn't go into their own personal circles. It's all very anonymous anyway, and not many sex workers are out in terms of like having their personal info out to match like their escort persona. That, you know, you have a fake name, you have a different number. So there's all that level of protection, and clients as well will usually punt outside of their own town just to be on the safe side for them, because obviously they don't want to be exposed in any way. But so usually those waters don't muddy at all. But this fucking guy, it's not only that he's like crossing over like some kind of like personal boundary, but the fact that he's like willing to like be doing the political stuff as well.
So
it's
weird.
So gross. Like, you're going to an event to talk about, like, human rights.
Yeah. And, like, migrant rights.
Yeah.
Like,
stuff that he knows rights, about. Worker rights, stuff that he, like, is aware of and obviously cares about and writes about.
And his job
is to do with it. And then to, like, go there and to look at the sex workers, like, as if they're, like, on a lineup.
Yeah.
And then choose, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to book her tonight. It's just so gross. And also, he clearly, like, date sex workers as well, yeah. Because because I went on his Twitter afterwards, and he had a girlfriend who was a sex worker.
And his ex was as well.
And his ex was. So it's like, you want to fuck sex
workers.
No, it's
just horny for sex workers.
And it's just so, so gross.
I have a question. Yeah. And it's maybe a sort of a... I don't know how good this question is. Were you annoyed that basically, like, you were having to speak to him for free?
And you kissed him for free.
Well, not in this case, but I think that all the time. I think that all the time whenever I have bad sex.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I should be getting paid for this. That's something that will always stay with me.
I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all think
bad.
Yeah, a lot of sex is bad. But yeah, I mean, that just proper, like, what a fucking disgusting. And I think I did message him because he deleted Instagram. And then he got Instagram back and followed me again. Then I messaged him being like, "What
always
the
hot.
Fuck?"
Yeah,
always.
Oh yeah, he was just like, "Sorry if I did that."
Yeah, I brought up the thing about him being a client, and he just kind of glossed over.
Yeah,
that, even though that's the freakiest shit.
Because parallel to this, there was the interpersonal thing where Atsy was sort of seeing him very loosely, but like they kind of hooked up a couple of times, not sex, but like kissing and hanging out. And then he went away, was sending the roses. He sent something else, like chocolates or something.
And sent a picture of his ass.
Sent a picture of his ass. And then, because then he was very like, you know, when someone's like really verbosely like full on about like how they like really miss you and they want to like suck those like supple cheeks.
Oh no, that's
not said, you know, like really like languagey kind of like English lit descriptions of like being horny.
That's disgusting. That's the worst thing.
Did I just pull that?
No, he
pulled that.
He used the word
head.
Supple.
Okay,
to describe my lips.
Oh, I don't know.
It was like kiss. I can't wait to kiss this supple, soft lip. Like, you know, like that kind of chat. So obviously, quite quickly was like, look, I don't think I would do this. I don't really want to hang out with you when you get back. So they kind of ended their little like tryst, and then he like parallel to the kind of sex worker thing, or just before. Then once their thing was over, he unfollowed all of us, blocked the podcast. Like previously, he was like giving us shout outs on his Twitter. He was like, make sure you listen to this and all of the, like to all of his like 20,000 followers or whatever. He was like, make sure you listen to this podcast. They've got some really interesting things to say, like uplift women of color, lol. Love black women out loud. and like then all of that just disappeared.
He just withdrew it,
like, and he was a patron as well. Like he was paying his money.
He just after I was like, this is weird. He just all of the support gone.
Yeah, which is hilarious. And then the thing after about the clients was like, wow, this is like a new kind of Belen. Like I feel like I'm jaded enough to know the different types of like twat guy at this point. Twat, as Americans say.
Twat.
I watched Friends with Benefits yesterday as a side note, the rom-com.
Is that the one with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher?
No, we watched that the day before.
That's No Strings Attached.
Yeah, that's No Strings Attached. And so I was like...
Friends with Benefits is Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis, and there's a storyline about flash mobs, is that correct? Yeah.
And that's the big crescendo at the end, is he's like, I didn't know.
It's funny because Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
Yes. Her mom says that she doesn't want a twat block her daughter.
Her mom is Patricia Clarkson in it.
Is
that correct?
A legend.
She's so good. I love Patricia Clarkson.
I feel like if you were 40, she'd play you in a film. Because she's
me. That is the biggest compliment a person could get.
Or however old she is. She's amazing. But she said twat block, and she said it in such a way that I was like, there is a female equivalent for cock block, but it's You have to say it in American accent. Top anyway, top. Yeah. Big deviation. yeah, he's a different...
Fully dying.
Lawrence is going to take a time out to choke and contract the novel coronavirus. That's not funny. It's just novel.
Like, missed when I came for me. Oh my god.
Why did you do that? Were you just coughing? Someone get down.
I didn't do it for attention.
Well, you have our attention now, love. What do you want?
The attention that you ordered.
Yeah, it's me. It's just a new kind of curious guy. We were wondering whether to kind of like mention it on the podcast because it's a little bit like too clouty.
Yeah,
it's a little bit I don't know, like weird. Like I'm not interested in beef.
But it's been a long time.
I am.
Yeah, it's been long enough, and like
it is so funny though that the effort for all at the time there was three of us. I'll just say she will not be named. There's three of us, and so like there was consistent attention on all three of us, and we were all like, "Does he want to shag us all?" Like, because he was sliding into all the DMs and the podcast DMs, and he was really lighting it up. Like, he was really kind of, and so that is what you brought up to him. Like, when he got a new Insta, you were like, "Why?"
Yeah, you just what the hell immediately was that all about? Like, just because was it? I didn't fuck you, so you just fucking removed everything. What was that all about? And I don't know, he just came some really wishy-washy.
He was like, response. Sorry, I can see that it seems that way now.
Yeah, and then didn't... And I was like, also, you're a client, that's weird. Like, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah, he just kept saying, like, yeah, I guess you can see it that way.
Yeah, he was just... And then I think he's just deleted his Instagram again. So,
like, maybe it seems that way because it is, in fact, that way.
Yeah, it's funny that you should view it in the way that it is.
Yeah. I hate when that happens. I hate when I do things and there are consequences.
So exactly the way that they are.
To be fair, I do relate to, like, I do hate when I do things and there are consequences.
Yeah.
I do relate to that.
Yeah, no, me too.
It doesn't matter.
But I'm on his side with this. I'm like firing wherever you can, homie. You get whoever you can get. But I guess
he crossed a boundary, I guess. So, Apsy, from your perspective, would you rather, if someone did date you and you were like, I'm a sex worker, you would want them to tell you, oh, okay, I go see sex workers sometimes? Or is that the kind of dialogue you would want? Yeah. Or
that would fuck me up. Only because, not, I mean, it might seem hypocritical to the outside viewer, but I don't like clients. Well, here's the thing. I think that if I was a guy, I do understand that there's a market for it, and it makes sense that there's a market for it. I get why men do it, because if you're married and you're not having sex and you don't want to leave your wife, it does make sense to not have an affair but to see an escort, because it's less messy, it's clean. The thing that escorts provide is discretion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also for like, you know, a guy who just wants to have sex and doesn't want to deal with anything messy or hurting anybody's feelings kind of thing, it doesn't make sense. And I would get why someone might do that now and again. However, I do think that guys who regularly see sex workers, like, I don't know, I worry about that, because I just think, no matter how aware you are, that you're paying for a fantasy, and no matter how aware you are of where the lines are, and you know the fact that the girl is not fucking into you but that she's acting, I just think that, like, how is that not fucking up how you see women and how you see sex and how you see relationships? Like, I I think I realized that I feel this way was because I was doing it for like 5 years. And by that time I got very jaded, because I was just getting really fucked off with, like, being messed about. It's just like really basic stuff of just like, I guess it's a similar kind of like frustration that, like, anybody who works in a business that involves appointments, like hairdressers, I'm sure, get as fucking annoyed by people not showing up, or just, you know, just customers being fucking annoying. And the entitlement that, like, guys would have. So it's not necessarily that I, like, hate all clients or anything like that. But, like, I think I don't like them.
And yeah, there's a fundamental disregard for the person you're having sex with's well-being and interest, because the fact is that no matter how, like you're saying, no matter how good they are at portraying a fantasy, they don't particularly want to be there. So you're happy to have sex with somebody who doesn't really want to be there, or the money. It's an interesting question. I met a few people at that event who were like, a few workers, sex workers, who were like, I don't think that they're good. Like, I don't like them. Like, I don't think it's, because some people are like, there's a big broad breadth within sex work, from what I've gathered, that there is like people who are really like, I love the job, or I love the clients, or at least I'm providing a valuable service to people who need it.
Sympathize with their clients.
Yeah, they're like, look, they have hard lives. Monogamy is hard. We don't live in a society that can like, that really supports or really understands sex or monogamy very well at all, or desire. People aren't taught what they want, or what, or how to express what they want, or we have these... We're not very good at communicating desire or understanding ourselves. And so there's a lot of sex workers who are like happy to give clients a sort of a way to express all of these complicated things that literally you never get to talk about, especially men, straight men. But then there's, I've talked to a couple of people who are like, I think they're bad people because fundamentally they don't respect the experience of the other person that they're having sex with, because they're happy in the knowledge that the other person's getting paid, but they know that they're physically not into it, and that makes them a dickhead.
I think as well, I was probably I view them in a certain way because there's a whole culture, there's a certain like subset of client that occupy a space online where they have like forums. So there's like clients who will like discuss like local sex workers and like write reviews, which is really gross. It's gross as fuck. And I think in their minds, sometimes it is a useful analogy to be like, sex work is just like any other job. And sometimes I might use that. For example, I have like one client who was like, my taxi costs like £10 to get to you, so can I get £10 off? And I said to him, I was like, if you showed up at a restaurant and then it cost you £10 to get there, would you ask for £10 off the bill? So sometimes like that, it's like,
get yours, king.
Yeah, it's useful to just sometimes it's useful to just like be like, you wouldn't do this for any other business, so why are you messing me about, kind of thing. But also it's like, I think some clients in their minds think like, well, it's a business and you review a business like you would on Google or on Yelp. So why can't I do? And there is a whole, there's literally like, they have like standards for like writing these reviews. And obviously I should not read what people write about me. Most of the stuff that was written about me was actually really positive, but it's just like, you know, it just
like,
but like the knowledge that these guys who are like, in their fucking like 50s and they're just gross, gross men. This is not I'm speaking in very broad strokes, that this is only like
a thing to qualify.
There's only like a certain subset of client that is like this. And, you know, I had clients of all sorts of ages that looked all completely different. So there's a variety, but the knowledge that there's like this disgusting fucking man who's coming and getting to have sex with a young fit woman who's like half his age, and then you going online to write about like how, or she was a little bit like bit pudgy for me, or you know, like she wasn't that enthusiastic and her face wasn't that attractive. And it's just like, you're so fucking pathetic, dude. Like,
get a fucking life.
Like, it's fucking state of you, mate. Like,
truly.
Yeah, and also like, because of the set prices, like I feel like it should cost like £1,000 to have sex with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but like, okay,
for 15 minutes.
For 15, yeah, for exactly. But because of the you have to price yourself according to the market price, and it's like an hour is like 120, half an hour like £70, so it's like, these guys should be fucking grateful, but they're not. They're entitled. Totally.
Yeah, I feel like sex work is like any work in the sense that it's like so extractive and it sucks. Yeah. Like most work in a capitalist society.
Yeah. The best thing about it though was the time. That's what the thing that affords you, or at least for me, it was like, it's not necessarily like the fact that it gave me a lot of money. It didn't really, because I didn't work that much. Mm-hmm. And also it's really sporadic. Like, I think a lot of people think, look at the price that you can charge, like 120 quid an hour. Oh my God, that's so much. You can earn that in an hour. But you might earn like, I don't know, a few hundred pounds one day and then absolutely nothing for the rest of the week. So mm-hmm. it's really just like peaks and troughs.
It's like any kind of self-employment in that respect.
It's precarious. Precarious work.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that it gave me like bare time.
Yeah. Yeah. Flexibility.
But it got to a point where I was like, I fucking hate this, and I hate I just hate the guys. And also Glasgow, like, it got really quiet.
We're not talking about dating anymore, so I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh yeah, please do. I mean, but in terms of like guys finding out about it, or well, I totally appreciate and understand why a lot of active sex workers don't tell, well, anyone, but also like anyone who they go out with, because it's a safety thing, but also it's like you're trying to gauge what that kind of person is like. For me, I'm like, I will just tell people, and I would tell guys as well, because I would see it in the fact, not, it would just be like an easy way for me to weed out people who are not, it would save down the line anything happening. If I'm upfront about it, then if they have a problem, that's fine. And then I can move on, rather than getting involved and invested in someone and then finding out that and then divulging it, and then they're like, oh shit. But a lot of guys here, or in general, I guess, but they're just kind of like really, like, be really weenie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really weenie, and just like,
what does weenie mean?
Like, I told you the other day on WhatsApp.
I wasn't listening on WhatsApp. I'm just like, oh yeah, like puny, like
kind of soft about it, soft, and just like, weak, like just get really insecure about it, and it's not, and it's fine. It's like I don't expect people to wrap their heads around it. It's a really complex thing.
It's just funny, because a lot of guys, good guys, would still have a problem with it.
Mm.
And there's a point at which it's like, I respect you for doing it, but I don't have the emotional maturity to deal with it. And that is like, I get that. Like, I mean, I probably could.
There are lots of good, I
genuinely, I haven't been in that situation, but I think I don't know. I'm like coming to the defense of men, and I'm so uncomfortable. But I was just going to say that they have, I guess, that reservation isn't without merit or without
grounding. Of course. Yeah, but the way that it was, I mean, they just can't communicate.
No.
And like, I had one guy who kind of like, I was really upfront about it, and then it was like quite a while in where he just started becoming really distant, and I had to be like, it's because of the sex work thing, isn't it? And then he asked some like fucking weird questions about whether I pay tax, and like asking about that. Yeah, which I did. And also,
yeah, you do.
Yeah. And also being like, how does it affect like the emotional, like just basically getting far too deep into it, being like, you know, because I can compartmentalize, and I don't see these guys as like, I don't see these clients as like being anything other than fucking, I don't remember them. They're very insignificant to me. Most of the work is so mundane. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, the sex part is like so mundane. And then I think guys are just like, but how do you not falling in love with every, you know, I think it was that kind of thing. like how do you not, like, yeah.
How am I not falling in love with a 60-year-old man called Tony from, like, Urban? I mean, yeah, it's pretty obvious how I'm not falling in love.
Like, it's all the keeps and the marks.
They should be more worried about, like, someone that you maybe went to like an office job with, or someone that you have time to build like daily rapport and flirtation with. And I guess straight men are like way about all things like that, you know, male friendships, male co-workers, you know,
Men. I've never met a man, so I'm kind of having difficulty in this.
Yeah. Who is men? Famously a virgin.
What do
The biggest virgin in Glasgow.
Yeah. And I've also been
Voldemort. I'm Volsel, so
yeah.
Similar. Similar but not the same. I may not understand, but I stand as the I can never remember if that is the quote on the posters. I think it is, but I feel like it's longer than that.
Piano what?
You know the BLM, what the white people were holding at the BLM marches in the summer?
Yeah.
It was like, I may not understand.
But I stand.
But I stand.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. I may not understand, but I stand.
Yeah,
would be
I
better.
Stand.
I stand.
Yeah.
And I have also just been like ghosted by someone, and I just thought, maybe I should send you an invoice then.
We should all start doing that. Do you remember that feminist on Twitter who was like, we need to stop paying men for their time, and that's... feminism now. It's like
we need to pay men.
Yeah, like no, sorry, men. It was like pay women, like hashtag pay women, and it was like men should pay women for all of their time because like all that women do for men is like either emotional or physical labor.
Oh yeah, that could give your money to women.
Give your money to women. Hashtag give your money to
hashtag
women.
Give your money to wealth distribution.
I'm honestly for that. Like I don't really see it as a movement, but I would love, like, if anyone's listening,
drop the paper.
Money.
Yeah.
Money, please.
Drop the paper.
Have anything left to say? Because I don't want to go on too long because this is already gonna have to get edited.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Other than just like I didn't mention Lucas, but I guess he's not really...
Guess we're using names now.
Yeah, well, Lucas was somebody...
We're doxing. That's what Lauren came for drama.